So I think we got to start with the county commission meeting.
Yeah. Some of you may have seen Algernon's Albuquerque Journal article, which he posted also on Facebook. And the issue was sort of a bait and switch that got pulled, that most people are familiar with the Jupiter Project and the controversy over it, whether it is worth the environmental cost or not. Some people, unions and some business people, think, oh, yeah, we need it.
Yeah, including Keith Erickson and some people we respect right. and admire. I mean,
yeah. It's, yeah. Horst was over there. They're definitely, you know, reasonable people could argue that
Chris Erickson, I think I called him Keith.
Yes.
If I get half the name right, I'm at the point now, if I get half the name right, I feel like I deserve partial credit.
Oh, if I got half the name right, I'm proud. You know, call my mother and say, wow.
Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt. But.
No. never interrupt.
Yeah, not on this show.
At any rate, there was kind of a bait and switch in that there are a lot of people very angry, and you know, I tend to agree with them generally about the project. It's going to do a lot of environmental harm. Yep. I'm not yet convinced that its benefits outweigh that damage,
right.
Or that they've been honest about the damage.
Right.
So there was a real push for a town hall where everybody could talk about it. And the county said, okay, we'll do it. We'll do it on the 17th of June. And then the company or the proponents, Jupiter Project leaders, pulled a little bait and switch in that the town hall open discussion turned into instead, near the site of the project, an open house where they'll have stations on different subjects and you can go in and go talk to somebody and hear their side of it. And combination with a job fair,
mm-hmm.
and no opportunity to have a public
right.
meaningful
no
discussion.
Town hall.
Right. So everybody said, you know,
that's not a town hall.
Unprintable things about it.
Right.
And there was a move to be there. And Lord bless the county commissioners, whom I disagree with on this issue and a few other things. I mean, I think the public comment was 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it was
at yesterday's meeting.
Yes, yeah. Yesterday at the meeting, and I had to get the car back to Dale, so I took off after.
I'm interrupting again, but this is fine. What happens when you don't do the proper diligence on the front end. When you
right.
pull the wool over people's eyes on the front end, you're going to hear about it on the back end, and,
right.
and you're going to keep hearing about it.
They were to the point where at one point, because people were, you know, when a speaker would say something like, you guys ought to all resign
right.
to the commissioner, there'd be applause in the middle of the, or catcalls or whatever in the
sure.
middle of this. And there was some booing of some people who said things that they believed, but the
so a little raucous,
other folks
maybe.
Didn't.
But
it
any
was, it was
anything
raucous.
Personal or over the line, I guess, would be the question.
Well, I didn't think so, but Manny certainly
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
I can sympathize with his frustration, but he actually gave the order to clear the place, and security tried to do that, or got
just
ready to try to
do like
it.
Because he didn't like what people were saying.
Well, because they were not waiting and saying it at the right time. And,
yeah.
you know, I mean.
So there, yeah, sure.
It was, you know, I can understand his frustration, but, call, you know, trying to get 3 or 4 or 5 private security people from Security Concepts.
Just another bad decision. decisions when it comes to this project.
The rest of the world prevailed on everybody to kind of make it a little more peaceful.
But this isn't the first time that the county commission has tried to shut down dissent on this topic. And will they get it through their heads? They're leaving, so they, you know, the answer may be never. With you know the two that are leaving, but the ones that are, you know, I don't know.
Manny and Gameros, although she was pretty new at the commission.
We've got a caller.
Ah.
Check and see if the headphones are turned
on.
It doesn't look like they are.
Hold on a moment.
Hello, this is Derek, Data Center Derek.
We're good. Yes, hello?
Yes.
Yeah, we hear you. Go ahead.
Yesterday at the county commission meeting, I was trespassed for the second time unlawfully.
I was about to mention that to Walt. Glad to hear from you. Let me do a little bit of introduction for listeners who don't know who you are, and maybe your name doesn't matter, but the county trespassed a citizen months ago and said, you can't come to the county, you can't come into the county building, you can't come to commission meetings, you can't do anything over here. And they did not follow the kinds of procedural rules you need to have when you're taking somebody's free speech right away for a while. Okay to use your name?
Sure.
Derek Pacheco. And he went in to a meeting, and they ended up putting him on the ground and handcuffing him and taking him away to jail. And he spent probably 20 hours in jail. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, that was a fun 20 hours, definitely.
Anyway, this was completely illegal, but no lawyers in town have stepped up to, you know, to hold the county to account, which is sad. So what happened yesterday, Derek?
So yesterday I went to attend the BOCC meeting towards the end of the meeting and sat down peaceful and quietly in the chambers, and then was greeted by Greg from Security Concepts, who told me I was still trespassed. I told him I was unaware that that was still active. He said, yep, sure was. Asked him to double check on that. He said, nope, and escorted me out of the building while taking my photographs and telling me that he was going to delete those photographs off of his personal phone that night.
Well, I'm sorry I'm not still an active lawyer, because that would be a very inviting case.
Just to be clear, were there ever any kind of threats? What was the rationale for this?
Yeah, what was their reason for trespassing you?
Well, they issued me a brand new trespass warning yesterday, and they gave no reasoning. They gave a verbal trespass to me yesterday after I was escorted out of the building at my own building, my own property. Three deputies showed up and gave me a verbal trespass warning. No details, again, no way to appeal, no nothing. I was calm, quiet, respectful, never threatened anyone, never incited violence. I'm just there to document.
Well, look, I think Walt asked, I don't think we answered him, and obviously I know a little about it, but what were their grounds originally for trespassing you months ago?
The original grounds for trespass were also very vague. Again, I did nothing to warrant a trespass. I was never violent. I never acted out. I was never asked to leave. It was just a quick blanket.
Well, in their letter, they complained about you videotaping people, for one thing.
Sure.
Videotaping people in the parking lot. Which
you can complain about that, but
if they had a lawyer, they would know that's a protected activity. But
yeah, so I was just exercising my rights to the fullest. Again, I'm a filmmaker, so I always have my camera out. I've been into several meetings without issue, and ever since I sued the county for Project Jupiter, I've been met with multiple forms of retaliation, including battery, assault. Assault by the assistant manager, Mr. Lopez. And I just really need representation so I can get my rights back.
Okay.
Well, right. Thanks for calling in. And, you know, if there are any lawyers listening or family of lawyers, I urge somebody to, you know, get in touch with Derek and represent him against the county, because I think he would collect damages and the lawyer would collect damages, and they would be teaching the county a lesson it desperately needs to learn. would have been very interesting if it had gone forward yesterday to, you know, throw all those people out. He probably had more grounds than he had with you, Derek, but probably still would have been a real mess. Anyway, thanks for calling.
All right, have a good one, guys. Thanks.
Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks. My question is, so are we going to have a town hall?
Yes,
now?
That was what I was going to get to. Yeah. And I fortunately, after lunch, I had to leave, get the car back and go to lunch and all. But after lunch, I turned it on, you know, because they stream the county meetings, as you know, and listeners might want to know. So I turned it back on, and they were just discussing that. And Shaljo Hernandez was saying, yeah, let them go ahead and do their job, Fair, but we should do what we're being asked to do. And, of course, Susanna Shaparo naturally was in that corner.
Who's been at the beginning, the only voice of reason, it seemed like.
Right. And the most recently, I guess she's most recently appointed, she was going along with that, too, in terms of
Susie
we ought to.
Kimball.
You know, at least Susie Kimball was saying, we ought to do this, at least start by creating a website where, you know. And there are, I mean, there are a lot of expert points that people would have wanted. I'm no expert.
Yeah, no.
But I do understand that and they wrote a column, you know, in the Bulletin the other day saying, but we're taking non-potable water. And that's sounds great, I guess, if you don't live in a desert and understand that all that water is kind of jammed up together.
Right.
And if you, first of all, non-potable means today and not tomorrow, because as we have more of a drought,
that's
people
true.
Might want to treat it. But also, and also, of course, the water sinks. But basically, if you pull some non-potable brackish water out of that aquifer down at the bottom,
right.
What happens to the thin layer of good water, potable water, that's above that? Well, it sinks, and most likely, I'm told, by a hydrologist I talked to yesterday, basically it'll most likely mix with the non-potable,
sure.
And that's undesirable. So the question is, how does this water relate to, and the hydrologist pointed out, gee, remember the United States Supreme Court just told us we have to we have to give Texas 18,000, whatever it is.
Yeah. And that's all non-potable water, I'm pretty sure.
But we have to pass on 18,000.
Right.
And these people are only going to add 10,000 to that. So this devastating 18,000 that we are going to have to send Texas.
Down the river, right.
You know, come hell or high water, no pun intended. Now, instead of 18, it'll be 28.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Anyway, there are also some misconceptions. I mean, one lady got up and said they promised that we would not see a rate increase. But El Paso Electric just sent us a rate increase that's more than double if it goes through. And I think the commissioners don't talk back to people who are speaking, but
right.
I think they knew. As they knew, as I think you'd probably know, that all you know, she was right factually, but there's no connection.
Right.
You know,
right.
They have not.
But it's also right that they promise there will be no rate increases. They can't control El Paso Electric, but so you don't make
that
promise.
They said we're not going to cause that.
Yeah.
I mean, give them a break.
Okay.
They said we're not. Yeah. What we do is not going to cause a rate increase for anybody.
Right.
Remains to be seen whether there's any truth to
that's
that.
A fair point,
I have my doubts, but
it has nothing.
It has
to do
not
with
been disproven at this
and
point.
Just to El Paso Electric, and we've talked about this before. We have this crazy system in New Mexico where you get rewarded based on how much you spend.
Yeah,
and so you know that has nothing to do with Jupiter, but it has everything to do with this. One more example of our laws is set for what was best for this state in the 1800s and have yet to be updated.
Yeah, we wanted to.
You know, back when we needed companies to go in and invest in communities that didn't have any electricity at all, that system made sense. It doesn't now, but we still have it.
Speaking of electric companies, not El Paso Electric, but PSC up north, we had talked.
PNM.
PNM. So thank you.
Yeah.
PNM, we had talked about this effort by Blackstone to buy it. And one of the issues, you're not allowed to go forward on stuff like that without the permission of the public, the PRC.
Right.
The Public Regulatory Commission. And they went ahead and they want to do this merger that a lot of people seriously oppose, including me, though I don't really know much.
Right.
They bought a bunch of it kind of separately in a little side transaction and says, oh, this has nothing to do with, you know, there was Mariel Nanasi and other people
new
who were looking out
economy.
For our interest.
Yeah.
New energy economy. Said, wait a minute here, and pushed that. And the hearing examiner came out finally and said, yeah, you got to undo that. That
right.
was in violation of
right.
law. And in fact, you ought to throw out the whole merger. I mean, this is their recommendation to the commission.
I think carries a lot of weight.
Oh, it does. It should carry a hell of a lot of weight. It carries a little less because sometimes the commissioners who are political appointees.
Sure. They get the final say.
You know, it might do what they feel like doing for one reason or another.
Yeah, that's right.
At any rate, that is good news, and because there are a lot of reasons. I won't rehearse them now. I wrote a column about it a few weeks ago. But there are a lot of reasons we don't want Blackstone, which is a huge private equity firm,
that's right.
that basically will have more 10 times as many lawyers as the PRC has.
They would overwhelm the PRC.
So that anything they do wrong, good luck finding it and good luck getting to court on it.
Right, right. I think that's fair.
So meanwhile, so there will be, you know, finish up the county thing, there will be some form of further public input, probably another town meeting at some point, where they try to have experts, you know, brought in by the company or brought in by the critics, and just have it out in as you say, in what they should have done, you know, early in September.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And not just me. I think a lot of people are saying that, that's when, like I said,
I
when
certainly
you sneak,
agree.
When you and, sneak things through, people are going to get upset about it. And that's what it felt like. That's, you know.
Well, they did non-disclosure agreements that the staff did with the company. And then they sprung it on the commissioners at the last moment. I was talking to those commissioners when they were about to vote on it. And they didn't know what they were going. You know, they hadn't seen, as Susie Shaparo complained at the meeting and has since, you know, there are missing pages in the supposed contract we're approving. Wait a minute here. And
I was just struck when they came, you know, to their credit, they came on our show and we had a lot of experts on the other side. We had Representative Cadena, and they just kept clinging to this same thing that, well, you know, it's up in 30 days and we have to vote on it. Why do you have to vote on it? Well, because it's up in 30. There was no reason why they had to vote on it.
I mean, the reason was because the people with $6 billion.
Yes.
Want us to do it.
That's right.
And get the industrial revenue bonds.
But they
approved.
Wouldn't say that. You know, but clearly that was a take it or leave it offer. They you know, I keep comparing it to a timeshare condominium, you know, we'll never have this opportunity again. And,
yeah.
You know, and that was before the data centers and, you know, at that point, we really hadn't heard of data centers all that much. Now they've kind of become like ICE detention centers. Nobody wants them.
It's kind of a national issue.
Yeah.
And there are good reasons not to want them. On the other hand, I mean, when we talk to my sister-in-law who lives on a farm and does everything natural in New Hampshire, she says, I won't use AI partly because it is so damaging to the environment.
Yeah.
And there are other people taking that position.
Yeah.
Well, I do use it. So I'm hypocritical.
Well, I mean, it's it's one of those things. It's not like gas, where, you know, when you use something, it depletes it. It's, you know, using AI is not going to deplete AI.
Not going to deplete AI, but it is going to take energy. I asked it once. I don't remember exactly the answer. I said, I'm asking you this question, and we use energy, you know. It takes energy for you to answer me. How much energy are we using compared to having a 100-watt light bulb on for the day? I forget what the exact answer was, but it uses a little bit of energy.
Yeah, that's fair.
And if zillions of us are doing it at a given moment, that's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's a different side of the argument that I haven't heard of before, but it's certainly not going to deter many people, you know.
No, it's not going to deter very many people, but, you know, I do think about it.
Yeah. So the last few minutes, what do you want to hit on the national side?
Oh, well, Mr. Plattner won in Maine.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Graham Plattner, too. I think he has kind of become a Rorschach test for the Democratic Party in a way. That mess on his chest, you know, everybody keeps describing that as a Nazi tattoo. To me, you say Nazi tattoo, I think swastika.
It's a skull and crossbones.
Yeah, it is.
And I saw an interesting piece on Facebook or somewhere by a guy who has written books on the whole Nazi thing. And made films about it. And he's kind of an expert. And he saw it and didn't recognize it as the Nazi. You know, it's different. I forget the details between the skull and crossbones, you know, on Plattner's. And here's a question that I think is fair to ask, and I understand that some people would call it anti-Semitic to even ask it. The New York Times, which I've been reading since I was 10 and generally love, went to Maine and, you know, sent a whole bunch of reporters, you know, including some of whom their objectivity could be questioned for activities they'd done, you know, pro-Zionist, pro-Israel. And they came out, and this thing, I can't tell, obviously, I'm no expert, but they don't seem to have much in terms of actual women saying. I mean, first of all, the women are women he met socially out in the world. They're not, like with some of these people, they're not people,
staffers.
Obviously, with Epstein, they're not girls. They're not people working for him misusing his power.
Right. Which you hear all the time in Congress.
He sent them some off-color.
Yeah.
And they talked with his old girlfriends. And if you talked, you know, if you interviewed all my old girlfriends, you would hear that I beat one up near Machu Picchu in the hotel. The fact is, I was trying to go take a picture early in the morning at Machu Picchu, which is what we were there for. And she wanted to cross-examine me about some 16-year-old store clerk she thought I had looked wrong at or who had looked wrong at me. It wasn't even me doing anything, you know, but. Sure, we have to do this. So I walked past her.
Yeah.
But she told her daughter.
No, I think that's
he
right.
He beat me up. And there are other, you know, I'm sure I've done wrong things in relationships. I mean, I know I have.
Yeah. I feel the same. And you're exactly right. The people who are the loudest critics are the pro-Israel.
And, you know, how much is this being pushed because he, I gather, takes a strong position against the war and maybe against us being led around the nose by Netanyahu, which seems a reasonable thing to object to me. On the other hand, you know, I don't want to be crucifying an excellent newspaper.
Well, or, you know, and listen, Democrats have been reflexive about believe women. I mean, so that's, I think, reflexive to a point of doing harm to everybody. I mean, if you if you believe every story, regardless of how much credibility or what, any backing, you're not doing any favors to the people who have legitimate stories. And
some of them are really minimal, like the, I'm drawing a blank on his name, of course, but the ex-comic that was a
senator. Franken.
Hmm?
Al Franken.
Yeah, that was pretty minimal.
Yes.
I mean, he'd been flying somewhere, and he took a picture of somebody lying there,
here's
you know, not
the important
totally
part
unclothed
about that.
Or anything else.
That did not happen when he was a senator. That happened
right.
when he was a comedian. He was on Saturday Night Live. He was a comedian making a tasteless joke meant that because of Democratic purity tests, he had to leave the Senate.
You know, it's really one of those tough issues in the sense that, you know, when I worked in the big law firm, I saw a lot of women who'd been victimized by a particular very presentable, popular young lawyer who was looking like he was going to be a partner there until that sort of thing came out, and they did the right thing, in my view.
And we just saw
but he
with
was
Eric
just
Swalwell.
Mean. You know, he was doing just stuff that was just mean.
Yeah, and we know it's still happening because we just saw it with Swalwell. But